From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Mo Rocca, and Tom Baudette. And here again is your host in the Kingsbury Hall at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Scott Stieber from McMinnville, Oregon.
Now, where is McMinnville, Oregon?
McMinnville. We are kind of between Salem and Portland, a little bit closer to the coast.
All right. So
my son just graduated from Linfield College in McMinnville, Oregon. I was just there 3 weeks ago.
So was I.
Really?
Yeah. Lovely little town.
Well, welcome to our show, Scott. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Scott's topic?
You kept that?
You never know what people are going to hold on to. What odd item will prompt someone to squirrel it away for years? Well, this week we read about an unlikely keepsake. Our panelists are going to tell you about three strange artifacts, only one of which is real. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Ready to go.
All right. First, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
Most people have long believed that Abraham Lincoln penned the Gettysburg Address on the train on the back of an envelope on the way to that famous event. Not so, says presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin. In fact, Mr. Lincoln wrote several drafts of the speech right in his White House office. However, Ms. Kearns Goodwin reveals that James Whitehall, the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, was under the impression that he was to make the dedication speech at the battlefield at Gettysburg. He apparently dashed off some remarks on an envelope that she has found that included introductions of attending dignitaries and opening jokes to relax the crowd, including, if our forefathers had realized it was going to be this hard, maybe our nation could have been dedicated to the proposition that all men are created almost equal. By a show of hands, how many people feel we really need the South? But of course, I intend mirth. Some of Mr. Whitehall's planned comments, such as "Go Blue and Gold" in big letters, and "Thank you for coming, Mr. President. I think we're on the right side of this issue, don't you?" And "Nice hat, sir. Jefferson Davis couldn't balance it on his head," seemed eerily ahead of their time.
A draft for a speech in Gettysburg that maybe thankfully was never given. Your next story of an unlikely artifact from the past comes from Tom Baudette.
She may have Betty Davis eyes, but I've got her lips. So claims Sam Miller on the online auction site eBay, where bidding opened this week for the molted lip skin of the legendary film star. Miller said that as a college student, he bussed tables at the posh Palace Hotel in St. Moritz, Switzerland. Ms. Davis was not a skier, said Miller, but she liked her drink. One very cold afternoon in 1969, she sat on the outdoor terrace chasing double martinis with double martinis until I found her passed out face down on the table. When I picked her up, her lips stayed on. Miller recovered the loose skin with a razor blade and laminated it to a Palace Hotel bar menu as a souvenir. They're not as lovely as you might expect, Miller admits. They were chapped and smushed into a table, more like a catfish than a movie star. Bidding opened at $2,000. So far, there have been no takers.
I want them.
Betty Davis's lips for sale on eBay. Your last story of an artifact, an unusual artifact, comes from Mo Rocca.
Visitors to York, England's Archaeological Museum might describe its most treasured artifact as, well, crappy. Known as the Lloyds Bank Turd, the 1,000-year-old Viking excrement was the jewel of the museum until a visiting school teacher dropped the fossilized log in front of his horrified students. The Viking turd crumbled into three pieces, not much larger than Swedish lingonberries. The turd has shed light on the Viking diet, rich in meat and some grains, but lacking in fruits and vegetables. Said conservator Gil Snape, whoever passed it probably hadn't performed for days. The intense travel schedule probably exacerbated Viking constipation. One can only imagine Leif Erikson's foul mood when he finally arrived in the New World. No wonder Vikings were always raping and pillaging. After careful reconstruction, the Lloyds Bank turd was restored to its former glory.
All right, then. Here are your choices. Let me review them for you. From Paula Poundstone, a draft of a speech that might have been given at Gettysburg but never was. From Tom Baudet, Betty Davis's lips as found adhered to a table. And from Mo Rocca, a Viking artifact. Which of these is the real story?
Boy, as much as I like the term Lloyd's Bank turd, I think I'm going to go with Tom Baudet and the draft of lips.
You're going to go with Tom Baudet's story of the Betty Davis lips that were left after she passed out with her face down on a cold table. All right, that's your choice. We spoke to an expert who talked to us about the historical importance of this find.
We know that the Vikings were definitely meat eaters. We also know that they ate a lot of fiber. The specimen that was found, after all, was about 20 centimeters long. And I say was because someone, as you know, had a little accident with it.
That was Dave Prager, author of Poop Culture, How America is Shaped by Its Grossest National Product. The world's least popular expert, talking about Viking bathroom habits. I'm sorry, but as you have no doubt figured out by now, Mo's story was the real one.
Even when I tell the truth, no one believes me.
It's funny how that is. So you didn't win our game, but you did earn a point for Mr. Tom Baudet with his very convincing story of Betty Davis's lips. Scott, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.